Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
We're glad that you are. From the Southern Bancorp studio in Hattiesburg, I'm Kelly Sander, along with Dima Mixon and producer-engineer Michael Mergens. First segment of the program today brought to you by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Smoked here, loved everywhere. Remember Dickey's over the holidays for your New Year's Eve party now, or get-togethers for Christmas. Catering events small and large with that large array of side dishes. Dickey's Barbecue Pit, big supporters of Southern Miss Athletics. Going to talk basketball here in a moment. A little bit later on, Randy Lee will be joining us. He is the radio voice of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, a team certainly no stranger to Southern Miss fans because Western Kentucky and Southern Miss were in Conference USA together. They will do battle tomorrow at 4:30. In the Louisiana Superdome at the New Orleans Bowl. And tomorrow we have programming wall-to-wall and ceiling-to-floor bowl coverage tomorrow, including our own Dima Mixon, who will be reporting live from New Orleans and everything going on in New Orleans tomorrow in association with the bowl game. But in our first segment, we've got to talk basketball. There's a lot to talk about. The Lady Eagles winners over the weekend, and this Lady Eagle team might make some noise, even though their first two games have been at home. But the men's team loses to Arkansas State 93-86. But Dima, as we welcome you to the show today, you look at these statistics and you have to really wonder, you know, normally you'd see big discrepancies in a home loss for a Southern Miss team. But when you look over these numbers, they're pretty impressive for Southern Miss, including one that jumped out to me, the three-point shooting. We've talked about how the Eagles really have not been effective shooting the basketball, particularly from three-point range, but they finished with almost 44% makes from the three-point area, where Arkansas State only had about 36.5%. Their field goal percentage for the game, Arkansas State shot 46%, Southern Miss nearly 50%. Free throw shooting, Southern Miss shot 91%, Arkansas State only shot 70% overall in the game. So when you look at these numbers, you'd think, oh, Southern Miss might have won that game. All in all, it was a loss, but I'm not so sure, even without Isaac Tavares, that might have been the best overall effort from this team this year.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say that, you know, I really thought that was probably the best individual team effort that we've seen. 86 points. I believe that's a season high. I don't know exactly. I'm pretty sure it's a season high against a power four or against a FBS opponent. And it was really surprising to me. I really thought, you know, first game with Tavares not being there, not in the starting lineup, I thought that they would be probably a little clunky, especially considering the way they shot the basketball on Thursday night. But I mean, you know, they probably had one of their better shooting performances of the season. Of course, Arkansas State's a really good basketball team, so that's probably going to be your one or two or three seed in the Sun Belt. So for them only to lose by seven, I know it was at home. You know, that I don't think there's anything really to be upset about that, especially not without your best player. Of course, Tyleek Weeks continues to really just play well. 25 points for him. Dylan Brumfield, who I asked the coach on Friday, I said, man, I just feel like he needs to start generating some offense. I mean, this was a guy, William Carey, who was like 30 points every single game. He was averaging 25, 30 points at William Carey. I mean, he had 11. It was really good to see Brewer Carruth, you know, get some involvement. I feel like they haven't really involved him with the offense, and I think he's probably one of their better three-point shooters. And he shot the three-point attempt shot 10 times and made 5 of them. So I thought it was a really good team performance. 86 points, you'd like to see that really any time. And, you know, Arkansas State's a good basketball team, so they're going to be able to shoot the basketball. They're going to be able to, you know, I think they had 42 points in the paint, which is just too many you want to give up. So there's a lot of things to clean up, but I don't think it was anything that you're, like, leaving there feeling disappointed. You know, obviously you want to win every game, but I mean, if you have to drop one at home, you want to look that way instead of looking what really I thought they were going to look like without Tavares, for at least for the first game.
And you talked about Weeks and some of the shooting that was taking place that Brewer Carruth put forth, but Kurt Lewis was another guy who, yeah, we'd been hearing all year long about what a great shooter he was, but he just hasn't blossomed yet. Well, he went 4 for 6 on Saturday, so that was certainly encouraging.
Yeah.
And Izzy Hart got a start. So when we talked to Coach Noah Croak, mm-hmm, on Friday, he said that this is definitely going to be now the rest of the season, because it looks more and more like Tavares is going to be out for an extended period of time, if not the whole season, that it's going to have to be an effort, a team effort, and really step up by committee. But that's good news for guys that are sitting on the bench, because that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be on the bench long, because Southern Miss is going deep with players off of the bench, which makes things a little bit would make things easier for them. Arkansas State took a 7-point lead into the halftime, but then both teams put up 54 points in the second half. Again, Arkansas State over Southern Miss 93-86. The Eagles are now on break for a little bit of a Christmas respite. They'll get to go to their families as much as they can. It's going to be a little difficult for the internationals to get home for a couple of days, but then they come back for a December 29th meeting against LSU, and then that is the last non-conference game. The rest of the way, the Eagles will play the games, we kind of joke, that count, because it is all about those conference wins in the Sun Belt to determine seeding in the Sun Belt tournament in Pensacola, which takes place the first week in March.
Yeah, and we are getting reports that Lane Kiffin will be coaching the LSU Tigers in basketball against the Southern Miss Golden Eagles.
Well, I'll tell you what, the amount of money he's making, he ought to coach every single team at LSU to make sure they get their money's worth. But the Lady Eagles, on the other hand, big winners. Now, again, it wasn't necessarily a shock, because – the Lady Cajuns have not had a good season so far. There's just no other way to wrap it. But still,
both you know, men's and women's Cajun, yes, teams were just terrible.
Yeah, but you ideally have to hold service at home, and that's something that the Lady Eagles now have done. And when you look at the games that they've played so far, and compare them with other teams on the women's side of the ledger in the Sun Belt Conference, I really think this Lady Eagle team could potentially be a contender.
I really do, too. And something that was interesting about Saturday's game against Louisiana, Ja'Kayla Johnson was inserted into the starting lineup. So on Thursday night, she was not in the starting lineup, went off for 20, 25 points. Don't remember exact total, but it was a really good night for her. Missy Bilderback inserted her into the starting lineup. She did it again, 20 points for her on Saturday against the Cajuns. And she was helped by Sakira White, again, 16 points for her. And something that's really encouraging to me is they're doing this without probably their best score. Scoring a lot of, like, Carly Keats is probably their best individual player and scorer on the court at all times. What she can do driving to the basket, what she can do shooting from the outside. 6 points on Saturday against the Cajuns, and they won by 20. You know, and then Thursday night, I think she had 8 points maybe against South Alabama. So, man, I mean, you're really encouraged from what you've seen from Missy Bilderback's squad. I think they're going to be definitely a team to watch going down the stretch. And you know, I know we're getting into some interesting waters here, but what Missy Bilderback has been able to do in one season, you know, you're looking at the men's side thinking about what Jay Leidner's been able to do over – we're on his fifth season here at Southern Miss now. So, you know, I don't know. You're going to have to start asking some questions soon.
Well, on the women's side, you know, the advantage that Missy Bilderback particularly had – in landing the Southern Miss job, is she had already been in the Sun Belt, having coached at Louisiana Monroe. So she knew kind of the quality and caliber of player that it was going to take to be able to win at the Sun Belt level, because she had already experienced it. Whereas Take, for example, Scotty Fletcher, the former women's coach at Pearl River, who took Missy Bilderback's place at Louisiana Monroe. He doesn't have that luxury because he didn't coach in the Sun Belt last year. So I think when she went to put a team together, she knew exactly what it was going to take and what skill sets the Lady Eagles were short in order to compensate that, and it looks like it's reaped dividends so far.
Yeah, and obviously the women's next game is going to be a ginormous basketball game at Reed Green Coliseum. I don't know who in their right mind scheduled this, but it's on New Year's Day, so I don't know if you're going to have a big crowd there. But the top team in the league, Arkansas State, 10-3, the Lady Red Wolves, coming into town. And then after that game on Saturday, they welcome in Troy, who's 10-2 themselves. So two huge back-to-back games for the Lady Eagles. But they get a week to prepare. So, we'll see how they look against the what I believe was picked at the beginning of the season as the two top women's teams in the league in Arkansas State and South Alabama. James Madison, of course, was in there. But I know that South Alabama and Arkansas State were towards the top.
And it is kind of interesting how Louisiana, formerly ULLA, University of Louisiana Lafayette, has had such a horrible start on both women's and men's side in basketball, whereas Arkansas State, on the other hand, has had a pretty good start. A little bit later on in the show, we're going to talk, as we pick up the basketball theme again here and there, about some of the surprises. It's early on, but there are a couple of surprises so far in the Sun Belt as to who's playing well and not playing so well. But when we come back, let's start talking about the bowl game tomorrow against the Western Kentucky University Hilltoppers. Randy Lee knows the Hilltoppers better than anybody because he's called them for a long time on radio and television. He will join us next as this Eagle Hour rolls on in a moment.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Eagle Tire West brings you this second segment of the Eagle Hour. Let me tell you a little bit about Eagle Tire West. Everything that you need at Eagle Tire West, next to Smith Motor Company on Highway 98. Family owned and operated since 1985, Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West. Goodyear Tires, full service for cars and trucks, and big supporters of Southern Miss Athletics. Kelly Sander and Dima Mixon and producer-engineer Michael Mergens with you on this rainy Monday here in Oak Grove. But we go to New Orleans now, where Randy Lee joins us. For 18 years, he has been the voice of the Western Kentucky University Hilltoppers, a native of West Virginia. He is prepping for the game tomorrow night, already in New Orleans. And Randy, as we welcome you, Southern Miss and Western Kentucky are certainly no strangers to one another, having been in Conference USA together, but give us your elevator speech about this year's Hilltopper team, both offensively and defensively.
Well, first of all, Kelly and Demon, nice to be with you. This is a WKU team that at the outset of the season, they were going to be their usual pass-oriented, quarterback runs the attack and is the focal point of the team. They went out and got a Maverick McIver, who was an All-American at the FBS level, and they were passing all over the place at the outset of the season. That's changed a little bit lately. Maverick had a couple of subpar games and then was injured, and then they brought in Rodney Tisdale, a redshirt freshman, a quarterback, and since he's been the quarterback, they're running it a little bit more. Passing it less. He can also run the ball a little bit where McIver couldn't. So really the offense has sort of changed a little bit in the way they go about things. They're still scoring about the same amount of time per same amount of points per game, but they're running the ball a little bit more and better than they were earlier in the year. Defensively, you know, they've struggled stopping the run for the last really 2 years. If the team they face does not have a running quarterback, they appear to be a little better matchup against that team. But if the recent teams have had running quarterbacks as well, they struggled stopping the run, to giving up a 5 yard to carry. This is a team, really, I think the most valuable part of the team is their red zone defense. They do give up their fair share of yards, but inside the 20, they're only third in the nation right now in fewest touchdowns allowed per trip to the red zone, only trailing Indiana and Ohio State. Teams are only scoring 36% scoring touchdowns 36% of the time once you get inside the 20, 17 touchdowns and 30 results where they have not scored a touchdown. So to me, that's been the most valuable part of this team that's gone 8-4. It's probably won them, I would say, 3 games.
Randy, when we look at the Conference USA, I know a lot of Southern Miss fans, was so eager to get out of the Conference USA, for the lack of the better terminology. When we get into these Sun Belt versus Conference USA games, which, I mean, the Conference USA has won a few of them in the bowl, actually all of them, I think, in the bowl season, with Jacksonville State beating Troy, Delaware beating Louisiana. Now we got another one with Southern Miss, Western Kentucky, and we'll have another one later on in bowl season when Louisiana Tech plays Coastal. How much of a big deal is it to Conference USA people who are in the Conference USA, playing the Sun Belt?
That's a good question. I don't know if it means anything to the players, but I do know it means stuff to the administration and coaches and the fans. For the teams that are in Conference USA, you have heard since the teams from Conference USA left to go to the Sun Belt how much better a conference the Sun Belt is, how yeah. much better off those programs are, how much more money they're making. Mm-hmm. Woe is me. And I don't necessarily think that is the case. I think I probably would say the same if WKU was in the Sun Belt.
Sure.
You look at the teams that Conference USA has added, they are not named schools yet, but they will become named schools. So many of those programs have done really well since moving up from the FBS level. And they have been good in this particular conference. And, was I pessimistic by adding some of those teams? Yes, I was. What I have seen are the schools from, larger alumni-based schools, higher attendance schools, who may not have the great facilities yet, but they're able to recruit the players. And, Kennesaw State has come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And they got blown out in a bowl, but in this conference this year, there were 4 teams that were separated by an eyelash. Kennesaw State, Western Kentucky University, Jacksonville State, and FIU made a rush there at the end. And to me, without the exception of James Madison this year, far and away the best team in either conference. After that, I don't know that you can say the Sun Belt's better or Conference USA is better. I think it's pretty well a crapshoot.
I think that's a good argument.
Randy, once you look at these numbers, the most consistent program, I think, in Conference USA has been and continues to be Western Kentucky University. And Coach Helton at WKU has been on a lot of potential coaching lists, but he's still at WKU. What do you make of that, if anything at all?
There's a number of reasons for that, I think. And, the consistency really is remarkable. I could go on and on about some of these, lists and numbers they are on based upon 8 wins in consecutive seasons and bowls in 7 straight years and all this or that. And you're right, it has been the most consistent football program in Conference USA. Now, the negatives in regards to possibly a head coach who would like to have other opportunities, no championships. Played in the championship game twice, lost. Had a chance to get to 2 other championships in the last game of the season and were not able to win, including this year when they were beaten on the last play of the game on a field goal by Jacksonville State. And I also know I'm probably closer to Tyson Helton than I have been with any coach I've ever worked with since I started broadcasting college sports, which was in 1986. I know him really well. He loves Bowling Green. He's sort of an outdoorsman. He has a farm outside of town. I think it would take a I'm not saying he's not going to. He will leave at some point in time. He has had an opportunity or two before, but it's going to have to be the right fix. It's not going to be, I don't think, a major city school where he lives in the big city. I don't think it's going to be a place where, yes, he's making a lot of money, but the track record for the program has not been good, and they're at a disadvantage in whatever conference they play in. I feel like he's a frugal person. I don't think materialistic is not him. His kids are freshmen. Well, his two sons will be sophomores in high school in Bowling Green at a very successful high school. His two daughters, one is at Oregon, the other is in college in Kentucky at a school that's in Lexington called Transylvania. So I don't know that he is all up to moving the family again. There's been a couple of rumors about him being in places, other places, and I know a couple of those places he coached at as an assistant coach before, and I was told one of the places possibly his wife didn't want to move back to, for various reasons. So it's going to be have to be the right situation for him. It will happen at some point in time because he's done a really good job at his school, which in terms of funding is probably in the middle of the pack in Conference USA.
You know, there's a lot of coaching changes in the carousel, and sometimes we think about coaches making those decisions, Kelly, but it's actually the wives who I think make 95% of the coaching decision.
Yeah, because if mama ain't happy,
that's right.
Ain't nobody happy. But as we continue our discussion with Randy Lee, the voice of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, when there was talk about the Sun Belt expanding, yeah, or actually putting, you know, Louisiana Tech was the eventual decision, but we were getting word, Randy, that Western Kentucky was seriously in that mix. Were we right about that and what we were hearing? How would you describe the seriousness of Western Kentucky and a potential move to the Sun Belt before La Tech got the call?
Yes, I'd say that was a serious discussion. Now, what I have been told by probably the two top-level decision-makers at our university is that they were looking. They decided to look for a school in the western part of the Sun Belt due to some possibilities of ULM maybe not staying at the FBS level in football. Now, I heard that. So I don't know how true that is, if that's going to happen at any point in time. There are two schools in Conference USA. If you're looking at, you know, the consistent winner, it's, you know, WKU has the great volleyball program. They're always at the top in football. Their baseball program has been tremendous the last couple of years. The facilities are certainly there now. A new indoor facility just opened up to practice in 2 weeks ago. It's immaculate. The downside of Western Kentucky in the eyes of the conferences is the market size, the TV market size. So that's the dilemma that the school has compared to maybe some other programs that are in major market cities, but the 95% of the people in those major cities don't follow that particular athletic department.
Right.
Hey, and some schools have got that phone call because of where they're located at,
right,
not necessarily because of what they've accomplished on the field. It's how many people are in the market where when you put the TV package together for that conference, you can say we are in this particular market,
yeah,
which provides you however many people.
Randy, can you hang with us for one more segment?
Sure can.
Okay, Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast, Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or YouTube. We'll be right back more with Randy Lee at Western Kentucky in just a moment.
Southern Miss to the top.
DBAT training brings you this third segment of the Eagle Hour. Just after the holidays, you know, if you've got a travel softball or baseball player, that's what they're thinking about. Time to hit those fields again. Get the early jump at DBAT. And don't forget, if you need some stocking stuffers, how about a membership for your youngster? If you have more than one, of course, you get a discounted membership for the second athlete. DBAT, just off of Interstate 59 in Hattiesburg. We're glad to have them with us here on the Eagle Hour. Continuing our discussion with Randy Lee, the voice of the Western Kentucky University Hilltoppers, who will provide the opposition tomorrow at 4:30 for that kickoff in New Orleans. And we're going to talk a little bit later on about these wacky kickoff times for these bowl games. But Randy, we talked about, you told us a little bit about the Hilltoppers, but from y'all's point of view, what are you guys expecting to see from Southern Miss tomorrow?
Well, you know, as a broadcaster, you're always interested when there's a coaching change and a coach leaves during the bowl season. What's going to happen? Will there be any changes? And with them promoting Coach Anderson, I'm assuming they'll run the same kind of offense. And, you know, if usually the teams that have success against Western Kentucky University are those who are able to establish the running game offensively. So I look, even though Southern Miss passes for twice as many yards as they run, I would think they would at least see if they would be able to, you know, run the ball and control the line of scrimmage in that regard, number one. Now, number two, you know, I know they put a lot of pressure on the passer. You're looking at their numbers in terms of the pass rush and sacks. You get 27 of them. WKU does have a fairly good pass-blocking offensive line, but with a secondary that picks off 21 passes, number one in the nation, I would anticipate they'll pin their ears back and they'll try to get at this freshman quarterback, Rodney Tisdale, who hasn't thrown a lot of interceptions, but he's thrown a few in his six starts. He's thrown six interceptions, and I would assume they would try to give him some things that maybe he's not seen before with this just being his seventh collegiate start.
Randy, you mentioned that Western Kentucky, mostly by geography, not as many fans will make the trip from Bowling Green, obviously, as will from Hattiesburg. But generally speaking, based on some of the attendance you've seen at the earlier bowl games, it's my assertion that bowl games in the next two or three years will go the way of the Buffalo, and there really won't be any attention, if at all, that these bowl games would be staged. It'll all be focused on the playoffs. What are your thoughts along those lines?
Well, you know, I certainly hope that's not the case. They can only add four more teams. I guess they could add more teams than that. But, you know, for schools like Western Kentucky University and others, bowls are still a big deal. You know, we're prideful of that. Now, maybe across the nation's landscape, it's not a big deal anymore, but it is at our institution. And when you walk into the football facilities, you'll see banners and trophies from each of the seven bowl wins over the last 12 years, the seven bowl wins in the last 11 bowl games. So, well, you know, this is a program that's, you know, probably not ever going to be in the bowl championship game series, or if they are, it will happen once in a lifetime. And with what has happened this year, maybe the non-Power 4 programs will never have another opportunity to get into it, you know?
Yeah, which is another subject we'll talk about later today here on this show. But yeah.
So until, you know, the rules change, I think Coach Helton thinks the same way, that in the not-too-distant future, you're going to have the non-Power 4 programs, a group of five schools, are going to compete for their own national championship. Mm-hmm. I do think that's going to happen. Yeah. I think it all depends upon, of course, the almighty TV dollar. Will they be able to sell this to TV networks for enough money that everyone will want to get involved in this? And I do think, unfortunately, I do think that's going to happen. Football drives the ship, and I do think that will happen sometime down the road. But you're right. Bowl games don't mean as much as they used to, because everyone talks about the national championship games and who should have been in and who shouldn't be in. And I get tired of it, and I tune it out myself.
Final question.
Because I'm not out of school at that level competing for that particular national championship.
And I think most fans, would you agree, Dima, that most fans think that it should be that way, that the big guys go by themselves and the group of five go their way? I mean, they won double A. I mean, they play.
I don't know. They got their own playoff,
you know, system. So,
I mean, I know how I feel on the issue, but I would say there's a lot of fans that don't feel that way.
That so, do not. Okay, well, yeah. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
I agree with that. I don't know what the percentage of it is, but I do agree with what you just said, Dima, that a lot of fans don't want that to happen.
But I mean, but on my end of it, I just don't know. It's just hard for me to. for me, it's like I think about it not from the sense of like Oregon and Ole Miss this weekend. I think of it from the sense of Tulane and JMU, like who had terrific seasons, and you're just going up and you just have no chance. I mean, it's just – I don't know if that's – is that great for everyone? I don't know.
Which is why they should break off. I'm saying why
– I agree with you. I'm just saying a lot of our fans and listeners will not agree with that.
Interesting. Okay, well, that's what the America that I was raised in. We can talk about stuff like that. Hey, Randy, before we let you go real quick, college play-by-play aside, who's the best play-by-play guy working today in the NFL or television or whatever?
Are we talking about, okay, for TV, my guy in the NFL is Ian Eagle, network TV guy.
Great choice. Yeah.
Yeah, so network TV, he is my favorite. My most enjoyable announcer to listen to on the radio in college, it is because when I was early in my childhood thinking about being an announcer, I was on the AM radio dial and I picked up this gigantic signal out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. Whoa, whoa was the station. And I heard Don Fisher's voice for the first time. So if I wanted to listen to a game, I'm not saying Don, you know, tells me as many stories as some of the others and is gets into the background of the players as well as the other. But if I want to listen to someone in a big game, I go for Don Fisher, the voice of the Indiana Hoosiers. That's my pick in college for radio play-by-play. Football, NFL play-by-play, you know, I don't like the Eagles. But, boy, I sure love that old guy who does the Eagle games. I just absolutely love his work. So he's my pick for the NFL. And I listen to radio broadcast, I would say, as much as anyone alive.
Yeah.
I prefer to listen than watch.
Me too.
That's just who I am.
Yeah, no, me too. And I think Kevin Harlan, Ian Eagle is in there, but I really like Kevin Harlan's call too.
Oh, yes. Who doesn't like Kevin Harlan?
Yeah, but anyway, Randy, look, continued success, man. Thanks for joining us. Stay out of trouble there in New Orleans, and don't let anybody on Bourbon Street ask you that they can tell you where you got your shoes. Because
that sounds good to me.
All right, man. Take care. Good luck to you. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas.
Thanks. Enjoy the visit.
All right. Randy Lee, the voice of the Western Kentucky University Hilltoppers, Western Kentucky and Southern Miss tomorrow at 4:30. And we're going to have, like I said, wall-to-wall coverage of the bowl game tomorrow. Dima's actually going to be on location in New Orleans as he makes his way down there. Thoughts and reactions to what Randy Lee had to say?
Yeah, a really good interview. Obviously, I always like getting you know, the other team's radio guy on. It's just a unique perspective because it's like it is a fan, but he's also has to look at it objectively. Mm-hmm. So I like that perspective of it. And I thought it was interesting, you know, what he was saying about the group of five. And I really think this weekend, you know, made a lot of questions be asked, I think, of what goes forward within the playoffs. And I don't know. I don't know where I stand on the issue right now because it's a hard debate for me because, like, on one hand, it's just like you can't exclude the group of five just because they got blown out. I think that's just a horrible argument, right? Like, because the blowouts are going to happen in college football. That's just a way of the sport. So I think that just because they got blown out, we shouldn't include them is a terrible argument. But I think the argument that blowouts happen all the time, therefore the group of five should be included, is also a bad argument in and of itself. I don't know where I stand on the issue because it's like, do fans want it? I guess is my question. Do you want that? Do you want to go up to Oregon and get beat and just be embarrassed? Frankly, you know, JMU scored some points with the third string in.
Some garbage points, yeah.
But, I mean, it's – I don't know. I don't know where I stand on it because it's like anyway we – anything we say is just like fans are going to blow up because we cover a group of five school. But I just don't know. To me, like what sounds great to me is a group of five playoff and a power four playoff because it's like you can't tell me that like Southern Miss at Memphis – in a first-round game does not sound fun. Like, that would be a – I'm in for that, you know. But, like, Southern Miss at Ohio State for the first round, like, what are we doing? You know, it's just like, I don't know.
And when you look at just about every other level of play in football, there's a lot of parity. Even in the National Football League now, there seems to be a lot of parity, which is probably why – one of the reasons why it's the most popular league in the world. I mean, we talked about 1AA having playoffs. You've got high school football that has the 1A through 7A classifications to try to make the playing field level so that everybody has a shot. Well, I think in the current structure, few could argue that the both Tulane and James Madison were probably the two best teams.
That's what I was about to ask.
But yet had no shot.
Right, and that's what I was about to ask. Like, James Madison, and I guess we can talk about the next segment, but, like, they were better than Southern Miss, right?
Yes.
Significantly better.
Yes.
Probably the best group of five team in the country, right?
And got clobbered.
And didn't have a prayer.
Right.
Tulane, the best American team, didn't have a chance.
Although James Madison did cover.
They did.
Which sure. I was kind of surprised that that happened. But you're absolutely right.
I mean, that's my argument. It's right. Like, the middle of the road of the group of five, if you thought the top didn't have a chance, what is like the middle of the road have?
We'll talk more about that and more stuff when the Eagle Hour continues after these commercial messages.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
4th Street Bar and Grill brings you the final segment of today's Eagle Hour, and they are having a bowl watch party tomorrow at 4th Street Bar and Grill, because, of course, that's when the bowl game is. So get there early. They'll have drink specials, food specials, everything for you there at 4th Street Bar and Grill, and you know everybody there is going to be a Southern Miss fan. And also, Forest Health would like to remind you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun this time of year, but don't forget about the most important player. That, of course, is you. Get your annual physical. A lot of your insurance policies, your deductible starts again on the first of the year, so you can get that annual physical to be sure that your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with medical expert advice. Closer to home, foresthealth.org is where you would reach them online. And MCS Home Center, if you want to put on your list of New Year's resolutions to get those home projects taken care of the early part of the year, home repair, remodeling, and home construction, everything you need, you can find at MCS. It's Hattiesburg's new home improvement center. Local folks, they're eager to help you. They're at 7329 Highway 98 West. Just go past 589, Highway 589 on 98, and it'll be right there on the right-hand side. So we're all glad to have them with us as part of our Eagle family. Sunbelt Conference USA, deem it 2-2 the record. But interestingly, Missouri State, who was beaten by Arkansas State in one of the bowl games, their head coach left to go to Coastal Carolina.
Yeah.
So when we were talking with Randy Lee earlier about, you know, I'm not sure. And then the argument can be made that Conference USA should not take a backseat to the Sunbelt. But you got Sunbelt coaches that are coming from Conference USA.
Right, and that's the same as, like, the Power Four, you know, because all the Group of Five coaches at the top of the Group of Five are going to the Power Four, too. So, it's always going up. Nobody ever goes down. You notice that.
It is
in a lot of things in life.
And
unless you get fired, of course.
And if indeed everything went down as we're being told it went down, that the coach at Kennesaw State, which was also noted in our discussion with Randy Lee, interviewed at Southern Miss. So that would have been another Conference USA coach, hypothetically,
Jerry
headed
Mack
to the Sun Belt. Yeah. But one of the things that's kind of been a bee in your bonnet, or that's gotten you a little bit lathered up, is these strange starting times for bowl games. It's bothering you for some
makes
reason.
No sense. Like, if we're trying to get attendance in bowl games, if we're trying to make bowl games relevant and, like, heightening attendance, why in the world are they in the middle of the day? It makes no sense to me. Like, it literally makes no sense. It's not TV contracts.
But it has to be. It has to be something TV related.
So tomorrow night, Tuesday night on December 23rd, what big sporting event is going on that the New Orleans Bowl couldn't be at 7? Like, is it the NBA? Is it, like, I don't know what it is. It has to be something. But, like,
Are there any other bowl games going
no,
on?
No, Southern Miss. Well, I don't know about that. That's
there might
question.
Be some other bowl games that are going on. But you might think that because we're so close up to a holiday that people are taking time off. And the hardcore Southern Miss fans.
Oh, yeah, the Frisco Bowl's at 8.
Okay.
That's what it is.
So if you want to, because otherwise, everybody would want to be on a certain date at a certain time. And TV coverage, there's no way that you could get them all covered.
But, like, listen to this. Monday, so December 29th for the Birmingham Bowl. It's on a Monday at 1 p.m., Georgia Southern App State. It's the only game that day on the 29th. It's a Monday at 1 p.m. What will you be doing Monday at 1 p.m.? We'll be on the show.
Yeah, or would have been
working.
Would
right,
have been working.
But
now New Year's Eve maybe not, or New Year's Day maybe not, but the 29th certainly.
And then the Independence Bowl is Tuesday, December 30th. Everybody's working before they get off for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day at 1 p.m. This doesn't make any sense. I don't get it. I literally don't understand it. It just makes no sense to me.
Well, maybe when tomorrow's show, when we talk to representatives from the city of New Orleans, maybe they can kind of straighten it out for us as to, you know, what impact do they have. You really, when it comes to New Orleans in particular, you certainly would have to think that the benefactors of any bowl game, besides the schools, would be the restaurants and watering holes in New Orleans who love a 4:30 start. Because once the game's over, then they've got time to enjoy restaurants or bars or wherever they want to.
But it's for the mom and pop fan who goes down there and's like, I'm going, you know, just for the game. It's like, oh, I could leave work at 4 and be there for a 7 o'clock, 6:30 kickoff. But nobody's leaving work at 2 to be there for a 4:30 kickoff.
Well, even I'm going to be here in the studio tomorrow. Yeah. You know, you're going to be on assignment. Bob's on out of town, but. If I were to go to the game, I mean, I could do the show, and then I would have to haul.
You would have to haul.
just for the kickoff.
Right.
Just to get down there for the kickoff.
Well, let's give a pick for the game before we get out of here. Because we got, 2 minutes left? So the line is Western Kentucky, 1.5 favorite over the Golden Eagles. 58.5 is the over-under.
I would think, man, it's just so hard because you got Blake Anderson now on the sidelines. But Braylon Braxton's healthy. And I think that, and you, what you heard earlier, that Western Kentucky tends to struggle with a quarterback that can move. So I like the Eagles' money line. I like them covering the point spread.
Same.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I just think that, which quarterback do you trust? A freshman with Western Kentucky or Braylon, who's playing his last collegiate game? You got to go with Braylon.
I would think so. And that's we're all going to be cheering that happens. Again, wall-to-wall coverage tomorrow from New Orleans. And we will have a show tomorrow. But then Wednesday and Thursday, we'll have have Christmas music here on the program. So no Eagle Hour on Wednesday or Thursday. But then we will rejoin you on Friday. Okay? Bowl coverage tomorrow. Hope that you will join us at 1 o'clock. Until then, from all of us to all of you, Southern Miss.
To the top.
To the top.
I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.